in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builders and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars in the skies in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well, if you have been paying attention at all recently, you know, and these verses just talked about that, but that citizenship is a big topic in our country today. People have really big feelings about it. People put a lot of their identity into what country they're from. And it's okay to have national pride. It's okay to be patriotic. I went to Costa Rica probably 10 years ago and on a missions trip. And there they talk all the time about Pura Vida. And that is a thing of pride that they have in their country, that Costa Rica is where you can find pure life. The Cuban people love Cuba, and they know and have that they have struggles, and they know that they have hardships, but they love their country, and they take great pride in being Cuban. The Batak culture in Indonesia, there you don't introduce yourself by your first name, but rather your last name, and they call it your family name. And seeing where they come from was very important for them. Each child in school would study where their home village was for their family name, and they would know who they were. When I was there, the national missionaries there could walk into any village, and they could find somebody of their family name, and they that person would refer to them as uncle or aunt if they were older than them, and they would invite them into their home, and they would treat them like they were family. Now, in our country, our last name isn't that big of a deal. You know, if you find somebody that has the last name Wayman, that might be a little bit unique. But it doesn't mean much more than that. But for them, it's a source of national pride. These are the founding families of Indonesia. I love America. I've been to 5 other countries on mission trips, and I have cherished every trip. But I would be lying to say that I wanted to live there rather than live here. Tori and I just talked yesterday about how much we love West Virginia. And she mentioned that living in Missouri her entire life, she never really heard people talk about how much they love Missouri. But here, it's just a constant source. She said she got teared up as the kids at school, on the last day of school on Friday, sang the song, you know, West Virginia, and sang out every word and huddled there together because it means so much to them. And we just celebrated Memorial Day. Both my grandfathers served in World War II. One was in the Battle of the Bulge. 5 of my uncles and 1 aunt served in the military, with my mom's brother dying in Vietnam. My dad served in the Navy for years, and then he went to work for the VA hospital for his whole career. This stuff runs deep for me. I appreciate our country. And yet, as a Christian, we have to realize that all of this is temporary, and it's all secondary. I am born for another land, and ultimately, my citizenship is in another country. If you've ever gone on a trip for a long time, you've probably thought or said, okay, I'm ready to go home. And I know this isn't always true for everyone, but for me, home is a place of comfort and belonging and security and love. And home can look different for all kinds of people. And human beings have this miraculous ability to make places their home. And we are blessed to have a thing called home on this earth. But we also look out at the hurt and pain and war and abuse and famine and disease and death in this world, and we ache for a place where none of that exists. C.S. Lewis says this: most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want, and want acutely, something that cannot be had in this world. And we have this longing inside of us for a land where things are set right. And those moments where we do find true and pure pleasure in this life, they are just glimpses of another land, peaks behind the curtain. When you stand before the beauty of a scenic landscape, or you get caught up in a swelling melody, when you taste your favorite food or laugh until you cry, these are just glimpses of heaven here on this earth. And these things are wonderful, but they also are so fleeting. But these moments are echoes of a garden that existed, where God walked side by side with his children before sin ruined it all. So you can love Mexico and Haiti and Cuba or America, but your true home is somewhere else. I grew up singing about how this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But it is so easy for us to become all consumed with the temporary and ignore the eternal. Hebrews 11 that Arissa just read to us talks about how people who pursued God by faith, and they suffered in this temporary world, but they received an eternal reward. Abel and Enoch and Noah, they all lived by faith. Abraham left his home country to follow God by faith. And God did give him an earthly home, but ultimately he said, or it is said about him in Hebrews 11:10, that he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Those people in the Old Testament were looking forward to a homeland where God dwelt with his people as he did back in Eden. Now, these people did experience times where they saw glimpses of Eden, like when Moses led the people of Egypt out, or the people of Israel out of Egypt, and they were led by God's presence with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They got glimpses of God walking side by side with them. And then when they were free, Moses spent time with God up on the mountain. And he received the Ten Commandments and how he should live. And he spent time with God. And then we see the temple that was in the midst of their camp, where God's presence dwelled in their midst. And then they got the promised land, the land of God. And then the temple, where God had a physical and permanent place for him to dwell among his people. And all of these things pointed back to what was lost, back to what they had in Eden before sin ruined everything. But none of those things were permanent, because God's people continually disobeyed him, just like they did back in Eden. But there were always people of faith who looked forward to a home that would be eternal. Back to Hebrews 11, verse 13, it says, these all, talking about all these people, they died in faith, looking forward, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So Noah and Abraham and Sarah, they got glimpses and echoes, but not the full picture. They were seeking a home whose builder and maker was God. And all these people lived by faith. They believed forward a promise, but they did not yet possess it fully. And now there are people that are with God, but even today we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth when Jesus returns to make all things new, to restore what was broken by sin, to go back to Eden. And until then, we live by faith. And until then, the Bible tells us that we are strangers, aliens, sojourners, foreigners in this world. So what does that mean? That means we act like it and we pack light. It means we stay focused on the destination. It means we don't get too attached to temporary surroundings. We are traveling this earth seeking our homeland, a better country, a heavenly one, because we are God's people, citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." It is so easy to get all consumed with the things of this world. And it's so easy to let everything pile on you. And it's so easy to carry this world on your back. And we have this thing, this device that shows us the whole entire world and all the problems in all the world at all times. And it's so easy to get entangled in the things of this world. But the Bible tells us not to get comfortable here. Colossians 3:1 tells us to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Why? Because this life isn't the end. And you can live for the things of this world and have a great career and all the things that you ever dreamed of, and you can miss out on citizenship in heaven. But what is it worth if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? We've read a lot in Hebrews today, and that's a book written to the Jewish people. The Jews were very patriotic, and they had their identity all wrapped up in their nationality. In fact, it was a really difficult thing for the early church to learn that people didn't have to become Jewish in order to be the church. And this book, Hebrews, is written to a people who loved their country. And the author tells them this in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 13. He says, "Listen, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." And for the Jewish people that were controlled by Rome, that was a big thing for them. Thinking about the fact that they didn't have control of their country anymore, and they just wanted their country back. But the author says, hey, there's something way better to come. There's something better than what you used to have. There's something better, a city that is built by God, a new Jerusalem. So stop looking backwards and look forward to what God is going to do. Because Jesus went to prepare a place for us, an eternally heavenly house. And in that house, it says there are many rooms, plenty of room for all of us. We're longing for a better country. And we are fellow citizens in the household of God. That's part of our identity, citizens of heaven. So as we look around at Christians and the American church, we should be asking ourselves, how much more consumed are we with national interests than we are eternal interests? Because one day, our American citizenship won't matter anymore. But what will matter is whether or not you're a citizen of heaven, the holy city, whose ruler and maker is God. We are to live with a different focus and priorities. We are set apart. Our identity is a citizen of heaven. Because this world is not where the story ends, but it is where our mission takes place. But being a citizen of another world doesn't mean we don't care about this one. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we've talked before about how we are sojourners and exiles here, but we seek the good of the city that God has placed us in. and we do good works, and we speak the good words of Jesus so that people might see our testimony and glorify the Father in heaven. Because we represent another place. See, this life is not meaningless, but it is momentary. We have a mission to go into the world and preach the gospel to every single person. But as we live in this world, we don't want to lose what makes us unique. Before his death, Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 15 through 17 that the people that are consumed with this world hate him, and that they'll hate his disciples too, and that they will face persecution. But then he comforts them and says, hey, you're not going to do it alone. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So don't be afraid, because Jesus has overcome this world. And we hear that phrase often if you've been in church for a long time, that we're meant to be in the world, but not of the world. And that's true. We get that from that same chapter 17 of John, when Jesus prays to the Father for the disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. We see that in John chapter 17, verse 14 through 19. Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for your sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. See, Jesus left us here in the world, and it's true that we shouldn't be of the world. We're to be separate from it by our words and deeds. The fruits of the Spirit, how we talk and how we walk, ought to be different. But we're also to be sent into it. So not of the world, but sent into the world. We are citizens of heaven, sent into this world to be strangers and foreigners that spread the good news that there is life beyond this life, a world beyond this world. You are sent into your workplace, into your family, into your neighborhood, into your school, to go and to walk, and as citizens of heaven, represent another world. We are citizens of heaven. One day this world will all pass away, and we'll stand before God, having either accepted him or rejected him. And our mission for those that are followers of Jesus is of the utmost importance, because heaven and hell stand in the balance. And just like Jesus was sent into this world, we are also sent. Our identity is citizens of heaven. This is not where the story ends, but this is where the mission takes place. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, but he will return one day. And Revelation 21 tells us what's next. In verse 1, it says, John, the Revelator, is talking here, and God has given him a picture of the future. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Revelation here, this passage here, is a picture of exactly what it's like back in Eden, where there is no pain, where sin hasn't broken things anymore, where there's no death, where your loved ones don't die, where relationships aren't broken, where your heart isn't moved to tears because of the pain and anguish and injustice that you see in this world. There's another world. And if you're a Christian, you're a citizen of heaven. We don't know everything about our homeland, but we know enough. A new heaven and a new earth set back right just like before sin tainted this earth. God dwelling and walking with his people face to face. No tears, no mourning, no crying, no pain, no death. All of this is gone forever. That's my country. That's the land that I'm a citizen of. I'm a citizen of heaven. And love, you know, this country. And as we're here, we seek the good of this country. And we try our best to fix the things in this world that we see around us. But ultimately, it's not all riding on this country. We have another land. And there is hope for a better place. And we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is coming back. And until then, we walk by faith like Noah and Abraham and Sarah, waiting our homeland, a city whose designer and builder is God, a better country. So don't get discouraged. Don't get overwhelmed. Jesus has overcome this world. Don't get distracted. Don't get bitter. Don't get cynical. Don't be consumed by the things of this world. Don't fall in love with the things of this world. They are all passing away. Instead, invest in the eternal. And you can't take your bank account or your car or your house. You can't take your popularity with you. What you can take with you is the people on your street who have eternal souls, the people that are at your work, that have a soul that lasts forever. Those are the things that you can invest in that will last into the next life. And you should invest in your 401k and all that kind of stuff and prepare for the future. But you better be preparing for eternity, for where you stand before God, knowing for sure that you are first are a child of God, that you put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. And you've asked him to forgive you of your sin. And then secondly, that you would take others with you to a better world, to a homeland where there is no pain. How apathetic will we have to be to interact with people every day and not tell them that there is a world beyond this world, a land beyond this land, where they can stand before God just like back in Eden. The more and more evil and wickedness that we see in this world, the more we understand that we are built for another country. So as we walk through this life, let's hold the things of this world with open hands and fix our heart on what is eternal. Our identity is citizen of heaven. And that's not where this land is, not where our story ends. But it is where our mission takes place. And one day, the longings that we've always felt will finally be fulfilled when we step into that better country, face to face with our King, home at last. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as the band comes. I don't know about you, but it seems like more and more often I feel those longings for another land where things are fixed, where God designed it all, where we do things God's way, where people aren't trampled on, where people aren't ignored, where children aren't hurt, another land whose designer and maker is God. Let's set our eyes on that. And as we travel this world, let's not forget those people around us. Let's not just become apathetic, but instead see this time as a very short, momentary time where God has sent us to do a mission. And we only have a short amount of time here. But God wants to help you change and impact your world, your sphere of influence. Not for your glory, but for his glory. To point to him so that more and more people might accept him. And that means we take our time and invest it in doing the good works that God has told us to do and speaking the good words of the gospel. Because this world is not our home. And when you become just disenchanted with all that's going on in this world, don't forget that you're not made for this world, but we are sent into it. So let's let God help us to bring his kingdom come and his will be done on this earth while we walk it and as we wait and hold on for him to make all things new. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure yet that you are a follower of Jesus. And if you stood before God, you wouldn't know. And you think to yourself, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. And I think, you know, I've gone to church and I've done this and I've done that. The Bible tells us that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is no amount of good in us that can get us to heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us that the wages of our sin is death. That's what we earn and deserve for our sin and the wrong that we've done and the times that we've ushered in pain and hurt into this world. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus in my place, that's the gospel. Jesus made a way for us to get to God. He laid down his life on the cross, the only innocent person to ever live, died for all of us guilty people. And Romans 10:13 tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can put your faith and trust in him today. You can admit that you're a sinner and that you can't do anything to get to God on your own, but that Jesus paid the price. And put all your faith and trust in him. It's not a magic prayer when you call out to God. The words can be different to apply to your life. But basically, you need to know you're a sinner, that Jesus paid the price for your sin, and put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross to save you. And you could call out to him today with something like this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know because of my sin that I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from all that I held on to in this world. And I put my faith and trust in what you did on the cross to mend my relationship with God. Jesus, save me. Thank you, God. If that's you today and you pray and call out to God from your heart to his ears, not just repeating a prayer, but from your heart genuinely, I'd love for you to write that on your connection card before you put it in one of the offering boxes. I'd love to be able to follow up with you. Write it on your connection card: I choose Jesus. Let's stand and let's worship. The altar's open today. Whether God dealt with your heart about something that we talked about today or something totally unrelated, something going on in your life, and you want God's people to come alongside you and pray over you, you come down today.